Okay, this week's parash is Parashas Behaloitzcha. I saw in a number of Svarim that it was or is the custom of Hasidim to rejoice very much on this week's parasha, more so than other to rejoice when we come to Parashas Behaloitzcha, because in this week's parasha, Kadosh Baruch Hu has given us a good report card. If you remember back to your days in Yeshiva Katana, when you come home with a good report card, it's cause for celebration. And I guess as parents, as grandparents, when you get a good report card from your child's Rebbe, you are very, very happy. In this week's parasha, we have a beautiful pasuk when Hashem speaks to Yisro. The Haloyscha is always in June. Okay, that's interesting. That's interesting. There are certain parashios that have been beaten to a pulp to extract Jewish for graduations. Parshas Behaloyscha and Parshas Shlach. And they have to Roni v'Simchi. Roni v'Simchi. So what is the pasuk that I'm referring to? Referring to what it says when Moshe begged Yisro to remain with Klal Yisrael and not leave Klal Yisrael. So Moshe said, "V'hoya ki selech imanu, v'hoya hatoivahu ki Hashem." Wait, who is the pasuk? Ki Hashem diber toiv al Yisrael. When Vayomer Moshe lechevav ben Uel hamidyani chesed Moshe noisim anachnu el hamochem hashamar Hashem oiso etein lochem lechoy itanu veitavnu loch. Come with us, Hashem will be good to you. Ki Hashem diber toiv al Yisrael. What more can you possibly want than to have a pasuk like this in the parasha where it says explicitly that Hashem has spoken good about Klal Yisrael? It is the cause for great celebration. And indeed, it was the custom. We don't have these customs today, but it was the custom that when you would come to Shul on Shabbos, on Parashas Behaloyscha, you would go b'simcha, because you don't have a pasuk like this in the Torah, ki Hashem diber toiv al Yisrael. So we should take that into mind. What? But you have to look at the good. You have to focus on the good. Don't focus on the bad. This is after the ego. I would imagine it's after the ego. After the ego. Definitely. Ki Hashem, that's right. Ki Hashem diber toiv al Yisrael. Absolutely. Okay, let's begin the parasha. The parasha we begin with Behaloyscha es haneirois al mul pnei hamenorah, the parsha of the menorah. This is the laning of the eighth day of Chanukah. It is the conclusion of the Chanukas Hamishkan. The end of Parshas Nosay, the Nesim, they bring a series of Kurbanos. Aaron, as Rashi explains, Aaron was a bit disheartened that he did not have an opportunity to offer a special carbon in honor of the Mishkan. Hashem said, "Do not worry, your portion is even greater than theirs. You're going to do the lighting of the menorah, the Hatorah, and the Hadlaka of the menorah." Now, here's an idea. The idea is not a complete idea, it's something to think about. In the beginning of the Torah, we learn about the creation of Or. In the beginning, or towards the beginning, depending on Rashi or the Targum, whatever the pasuk means, Hashem created the Shemayim and the Aretz. V'ho Aretz, ho'yisa sohu v'vohu v'choshech al p'nei ha'sohim. V'ruach alukim v'necheves al p'nei ha'moyim. The earth was tohu v'vohu. There's absolutely nothing out there. This absolutely, Rashi elaborates the definition of tohu vavohu. It's not even possible for the mind to comprehend the meaning of tohu vavohu. And this darkness, the spirit of Hashem is hovering al pnei hamayim. The first thing Hashem does is, v'yimolkim yehi or, there should be light. If you were the creator, put yourself in the shoes of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, chas v'shalom. But if a person, if you can say such a thing, would the first thing that you do, as a creator, would it be to create or? Seemingly, it would be the last thing. Seemingly, you would first create the heaven and the earth, you'd create the animals, human beings, vegetation, fish, you create heavenly bodies. And then Hashem does not, we can't judge HaKadosh Baruch Hu from our, we can't judge HaKadosh Baruch Hu from our Hasagas. Hashem does not need light. Hashem does not need light. Hashem could create things in the dark. Look, I saw speak to someone today. They have, in Amazon, they have a factory. They have robots. They package all of the orders in the factory. One of the advantages of having robots, besides the fact you don't have to pay pensions and no one complains and there's no lunch break, is they don't have to turn on the lights in the factory. They save what? No air conditioning and no lights. They save an enormous amount of money. They wrote this up. The main thing was really the air conditioning. Years ago, if you remember, a couple of years ago, there was a big lawsuit. There was a big problem with the Amazon in the summer. They did not want to turn on the air conditioning in the factories for the workers because the margins of profit are anyway so small and competing with the online market, they were losing money by turning on the air conditioner in these massive, massive factories. Now that they have robots, no one's complaining. And they do the work in the dark. They save money on electricity because robots don't need light. The Ribbono Shel Olam certainly does not need or to create this world. He will create a world. What?
The robots operate on electricity.
Electricity, but you don't need lights. You don't need illumination. You don't need illumination. Lithium powered robots. You don't need illumination. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when He created the world, you ever think about this? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to start off with creating or? Hashem should have started off with creating the heavenly bodies, creating vegetation, creating human beings, creating everything that it says in Ma'aseh Bereishis. And then at the very end, presto, He opened the curtain. You ever go to a performance? So He opened the curtain, lights, camera, action, right? Lights, the lights go on, bang, illumination. Now you make the presentation. What is the purpose of light? Light is to provide illumination, to show, to bring out the yofi, to show you, to put on display what you have. So if the Torah would have been written, the order of Ma'aseh Bereishis would have been written with the very last thing on the Erev Shabbos, on the Yom HaShishi, Vayomer Lakim Yehi Or, it would make a little bit more sense, because the purpose of light is, from our perspective, is illumination. Is there really a purpose in light in and of itself, that there should be light? The purpose of light is to see what's going on. After you have what to see, then it's kedai, it's worthy of turning on the lights. What is Hashem turning on the lights? To illuminate tohu vavohu? At least it's dark. At least you don't have to see it. Great. The lights are on, and what do I see? Tohu vavohu. Now we'll create the heavenly bodies. Vahulu. It should be the other way around. Okay. There's no day and night. So there is no day and night. And so who says there has to be? Every part of creation needs the other part. Needs the other. If we look at creation, if you're only going to have one part without the other, the world couldn't exist. Everything needs each other. So anyway, the rules of creation are lemala miderach hateva. So there is a simple answer. There is a simple answer, and it's not really. It's really touches upon the main answer, but it says v'ruach Elokim merachefes al pnei hamayim. There are three things in creation. There is tohu vavohu. Those are one or two things. V'ruach Elokim, the spirit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is hovering. Vayomer Elokim yehi or, the or is illuminating the Ruach Elokim. The Or is shedding light on the spirit of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Hashem's presence is now revealed for the entire world to see. And then comes what we call Tzimtzum. Tzimtzum is a Kabbalistic term which means HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he hides his presence. He shelters, he conceals himself. He contracts, he plays with us, hide and seek. This is, the whole world is just one big game of hide and seek. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hiding from us, and we are seeking out HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the truth is, the Iker illumination of Vayeom Elokim Yehi Or is to illuminate the Ruach Elokim. And then begins the Bria. Hashem creates the stars, the moon, the sun, all of these things that Hashem has created, it takes away from its darkness. All different forms of darkness which detract from the Ruach Elohim that is infinite, that has been illuminated by Yehi Ar. And then finally with man is the crown of creation. Now that I have created a balance, and this Ruach Elohim that has been illuminated, but it has been obscured by all of the distractions in the 7 days of creation, find HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let's now play hide and seek. This is one approach to understand the order. Another approach, which really is, it's really the same idea, but it's just focusing it on it from a different angle, is the creation of Or is worthy in and of itself. What is the purpose? We live in a very simple world. Purpose of the only reason why you buy a light fixture is because you need to see what's going on. If you only occupy a room in broad daylight, you go outside in your patio, your garden, there are no lights. You don't have any lights outdoors, because if this is a location which you only frequent during daylight hours, then there is no need to have light because you have natural light. Light, from our perspective, is in order to provide illumination to see something. But the truth is, there is a value of light in and of itself. The light of creation was a spiritual light. Someone really asked this. Hashem created the sun. The sun, that was created on the second day. The sun and the moon, the Ma'or HaGadolim, Ma'or HaGadol, but when Vayom Elokim Yehi Or, the deeper meaning of Yehi Or is the spiritual light. And that spiritual light has value in and of itself without it providing illumination for something else. In and of itself, there is chashivas, there is value. Now let's go to the menorah. Let me take a step back. There's a Gemara. I don't remember where the Gemara is, but the Gemara, I think it's with Rabbi Akiva. There was a person that asked Rabbi Akiva, if I'm not mistaken, whose creation is more beautiful? Man or Hashem? Hashem created a world, a beautiful world, and man also has a power of creativity. When man, we see what man can do in this world. So someone asked Rabbi Akiva, whose actions are more beautiful? Rabbi Akiva said, shockingly, man. Rabbi Akiva said, symbol. Look at a loaf of bread. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world where the earth produces grain. But grain is not edible. Grain is a stalk. There's psoilus, there's chaff, there's a kone. It doesn't feel good. It cannot be consumed. Along comes a human being and takes this product of the earth and transforms it into a gluskiyof, into a delicious cake, a delicious bagel, a loaf of bread, whatever you want to call a galuskiyofa, a delicious loaf of bread. Rabbi Akiva said, is this not true that the creation of man is more beautiful than the Ribbono Shel Olam? Now, what does this mean? It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rabbi Akiva means to say, according to the simple understanding, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world in a way where he gave man the opportunity to be a partner with Hashem in bringing forth, in concluding creation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave man such a purpose. So I want to suggest following, it's not a complete idea, it's just a ha'ara. In the beginning of the parasha, Bahaloscha, we begin with Bahaloscha. There's El Mul Pinei HaMenorah Yeiru Shivas HaNeiros. Now the truth is, there's a machlokes in the Gemara as to how the menorah was positioned. Was the menorah positioned from Tzofoin to Doroin, or was it positioned from Mizrach to Ma'arav? In other words, you make believe you're standing, you're entering the Heichal, and you're facing the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and to your right is the Shulchan, to the left is the Menorah. Do you see in front of you all seven Neros, or do you see in front of you just the Menorah positioned? The Neros are facing the wall, so you just see one line, one row of Neros. Let's work with the opinion that says, it's Machlokes in the Gemara, let's learn with the opinion that says that the menorah was positioned from Mizrach to Ma'arav, which means that what was the ponim of the menorah? When Aaron, he lit the menorah, Aaron stood, Aaron But I don't let them know. When it says in the pasuk that the seven candles shall face the panim, what does that mean? So let me read the pasuk. Give me one moment. No, it means it's going to be facing the shulchan. And in fact, that's how it is presented in Parashas Pikudei. When you set up the shulchan and the menorah, it says that the menorah shall be lenoichach hashulchan. In Parashas Pikudei, when the Torah describes the position, where exactly in the Heichal should you position the shulchan and the menorah, it says you put the shulchan on the right side, on the side that is Tzofin, and opposite, then you put on Doram, you put the menorah, and the menorah shall be Noichach HaShulchan. Therefore, when it says in this week's parasha, in the beginning, Ba'aloyscha es haneros, you light the candles, El mul pnei ha-menorah ye'iru shivas ha-neros. Now the simple interpretation of this pasuk, as Rashi explains, is all of the neros shall face the center. There are seven neros, and the six on the side are facing the center. And as you see in the illustrations, the diagrams, that they are very well popular among us, you see how they're all pointed towards the center. But that cannot be the only interpretation. Because if that was the only interpretation, it should not say, Yoiru Shiv'as HaNeros, it should say, Sheish HaNeros. Because the six candles are pointing towards the center. Therefore, there's another layer of interpretation. In addition to the six facing the center, they're also partially facing in front of them. In other words, what are they facing in front? The seven arrows are illuminating, are providing illumination to what is opposite, the panim of the menorah. What is the panim of the menorah? Well, we don't have to guess, because in Parashas Pekudei, the Torah goes out of its way to tell us that the menorah shall be opposite the shulchan, Noichach HaShulchan. So what comes out that here we have a different type of light. In my Sibereishis, it's clear that the purpose of light was not to provide illumination. Because it was to provide illumination to see what is going on, it would have been created at the end of creation. It would have been created last. Therefore, the purpose of Or was a creation in and of itself. The chashivas of Or, the chashivas, the value of light in and of itself, even though it's not going to provide you with illumination, that itself has value. That, of course, requires understanding. Well, I mean, what's the purpose of having light if you're not going to have illumination? So you have to understand that. It means spiritual light. Maybe even it means physical light. There's a deeper meaning of what it means. But by the menorah, when you read the psukim at face value, it appears that the purpose of lighting the menorah is to illuminate, to provide illumination upon the shulchan. El mul pnei ha-menorah yo'iru shivas ha-neros. It doesn't say just light it and let there be value in the light in and of itself. The Gemara alludes to such a concept, but that concept of light in and of itself, v'chil oiruhu tzarech, the Gemara asks the question, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, does he really need light? V'chil oiruhu tzarech, v'hal HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of light. So the Gemara says, Eidosh Shehashchina Shore B'Yisrael. But that's only true in regard to the Ner HaMaravi, Chazal say. But the other six Neros, you don't have that concept, and yeah, read the Psukim. I mean, besides the Maimer Chazal, that's another dimension. That's another dimension in the menorah, but the very symbol and thing of the pasuk is the purpose of the light was to provide illumination. So it comes out that there are two different types of light. There is the light of Ma'aseh Bereishis, and there is the light of the Mishkan. Which of these two forms of light is more beautiful? Well, we can suggest that the light of the Mishkan, to some degree, is more beautiful. And the proof is because the Mishkan, everything about the Mishkan represents man's contribution towards creation. Hashem created the world, and Hashem said to man, you man, make for me a mokoim, a bayis, a dwelling place on this world. The famous Gemara with Rabbi Akiva, what is the more beautiful, Hashem's creation or man's creation? Rabbi Akiva, his illustration of to prove that man's creation is more beautiful, is focusing on bread, on lechem, a gluskin Si Yofa. And here the Pasuk says that the purpose of the menorah in the Mokoim that was created by man to be a dwelling place, the Mokoim for Hashem to rest, the Shechina, which is the beauty of man's contribution to this world, in this Mokoim we turn on the lights. Notice the lights are being turned on at the very end. There are many Amar Chazal that try to compare every different element of the Mishkan to Maaseh Bereishis. But there's one thing that doesn't work out, and that is the very, very last thing of the Mishkan, of the Chanukah HaMishkan, was the turning on of the lights. Whereas in the creation of the world, the turning on the lights was the very first thing. No, there are 39 melachos. Chazal say that there are 39 melachos. To illustrate this idea, there are 39 categories of labor. Where does it come from, 39 categories of labor? So there are two Mamari Chazal, there are two sides of one coin. Because in the Mishkan, there were 39 categories of labor. There were 39 things which were needed in order to construct the Mishkan. And in Maaseh Bereishis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did 39, and it says the word, it says Vayas. I think it's the word Vayas. It says I don't know. I think that. But it means the Chazal said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did 39 acts of labor to create this world. So the Tali Zeb is that, because the building of the Mishkan, in, to some degree, is a recreation of the world on a smaller scale. At least it's our contribution to the creation of the world. So there are many parallels between the creation of the world and the building of the Mishkan. But
where
there's
one. Get the number 39 from?
39, why that number? That's a different issue. Why that number? By the way, the menorah also has the number 39 in it. There are 7 prachim, 11 gevi'im, and 22 kaftarim, for a grand total of 49. I made a mistake. I made a mistake. Take that back. Okay. But let's go back to this idea. There is a parallel between creation and the building of the Mishkan. But even though we have this parallel, there's one thing which stands out as being the complete diametric opposite. In creation, the first thing is Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or. First beginning of the Torah, the very, very beginning. Parashas Bahaloscha, we now reach the completion of creation. The creation of man's creation. Man here has now completed the world by building a Mishkan for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Parashas Nosa, we went through the whole process of Moshe Rabbeinu putting up, taking down, 8 days, back and forth. And finally, like we learned last week, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created multiple worlds. He destroyed them. Finally, he was satisfied with this world. It was the 8th day, and all of the Nesim come forth, and they offer Korbanos for 12 days to inaugurate the Mishkan. And now, the very last, the final detail to conclude the inauguration is the beginning of this week's parasha, Bahaloscha Esaneros. In other words, Vayom Elokim Yehi Or. But it's the very end. A complete end of the complete opposite. That's exactly the point. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Or of Klal Yisrael, is a different type of Or. It's not just an Or, a light that is choshev in its own right, that is value in its own. The Or of Klal Yisrael has a yoifi, has a beauty, in that it also illuminates the beauty in others. It illuminates the beauty that is found in the world. The Or of the menorah brought out the beauty in the entire Mishkan. It illuminated the Mishkan. And specifically, it illuminated the Lechem Haponim. L'noichach the Penei HaMenorah Ye'iru Sheva Saneros. Bread represents the ultimate, on the simplest level, the ultimate creation of man that is considered in the Gemara to represent the beauty, that the creativity of man's beauty, and this is the yoifi of the nair of the or of man. Now to illustrate this idea with one more prat, it's interesting that Shabbos begins with the lighting of Ner Shabbos, and in fact the Sheltis, the collection of Midrashim, it elaborates on all of the laws of Ner Shabbos, Lahalik Ner Shel Shabbos, on this week's parsha. Not in the Aseres Hadibros, not in Morah, not in the time of Mitzrayim. Where is the section of Sheltos that details the laws of Hadlokas Ner Shabbos? In the beginning of Parshas Bahaloscha. And the question is why? Just because we mentioned here very quickly that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we light the menorah, what does Ner Shabbos have to do with Behaloitzcha Es HaNeros on Shabbos? The answer is, we'll put the answer back, hold and hold for one moment. We begin Shabbos by lighting the Ner Shabbos. How do we end Shabbos? Havdalah. And what do we do by Havdalah? Yeah. Avuka, a Ner. You have to have a L'chatchil and Avuka. B'dievel, even one Ner is enough. You make a bracha. Why? The simple reason is a commemoration that there was the time, Sunday Mitzvah Shabbos, was one moment when Hashem put in the mind of Adam HaRishon the idea to rub together two stones in order to create a fire. So we commemorate the Bria of Eish Mitzvah Shabbos. There's a very big difference between the two different fires. What's the primary purpose of lighting Ner Shabbos for Shabbos? Shalom Bayis. What is Shalom Bayis? Don't eat in the dark. Don't trip over your children's scooter. Everything in the home should be nice and clean. The purpose of lighting, see your family. The purpose of Ner Shabbos is not to be machshiv. Ah! Or, look at this. This is or. It's choshev in its own right. It's beautiful, it's magnificent, such a beria. There's a thing in this world called fire, called or. No, that's nonsense. The purpose of lighting candles Friday night is to illuminate the bias, to see the table, the shulchan, your table, l'noicha ha-shulchan, to see the food on the table, not to eat in the dark, to be nene from the food on the table, to see your family. Everything should be clean, everything should be fine. Mitzvah Shabbos, there's nothing to look at. The purpose of making boirei mo'orei ho'esh is to focus, there's something in this world called fire. There's something in this world called art. Okay, we have a minute. We look at our fingernails. This is not exactly, looking at your fingernails, that's not exactly the klipas. It's not exactly an illustration of the yofi, of illuminating. It's just to focus. This is the difference between the beginning of the week and the end of the week. The beginning of the week, we begin, it's like Maisa Bereishis. Maisa Bereishis began, Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or. Maisa Bereishis. What's the end of Maisa Bereishis? It took a very long time to come to the end of Maisa Bereishis. End of Maisa Bereishis is after man created a Mishkan for the Ribbono Shel Olam. And they got their act together. They got it assembled. And they inaugurated it. They brought the Korbanos. Everything was all ready to go. The Gemar, Aaron, don't worry, you're also going to be mashlim the inauguration. You're going to light the Ner. But when you light the Ner, it's a different type of light. A light of illumination, to see the yoifi in everything that exists. When the week begins, the week corresponds to Maisa Bereishis. The week begins with Borei Mo'orei Ho'esh. Ah, there's something called fire. But there's no purpose to this fire. It's a beautiful fire. It's raw potential. It's raw. It's an amazing thing that exists in this world. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? It takes a whole week until you come to Shabbos, till you prepare. You're making from Yom Rishna, Yom Rishna Mishabbos, Yom Sheni Mishabbos, everything that you have, you put away, you get ready for Shabbos. And then when it comes Shabbos, Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or, the Or is now going to beautify, illuminate all of the hachanas of everything that you put together. It's a different type of Or. You're going mikotze el hakotze. The two different types of light of Mitzvah Shabbos to Shabbos corresponds to Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or of Maaseh Bereishis to this week's parasha Behaloitzcha Es HaNeros El Mul. Don't just light the Or, stand this Or. El Mul Pnei HaMenoiro Yeiru Shivas HaNeros. The Or is to give illumination to what? To the Shulchan, to everything that's in the room, to what this whole Mishkan is all about.
Or of the first Or was the first one created. The Or of Matzah Shabbos was created to push away the darkness which was there.
It was okay. All right. It's not a contradiction. It's not it's a different right. It's a different type of Or. Okay. Let's go to another. Let's go to move along. let's move along to an idea that Mr. Weiss, he mentioned, it was Mechamis what I wanted to say. Mr. Weiss said to me this morning an idea we have here in reference to the Levim. Going further in Perek Ches Pasuk Yud Tes. Perek Ches Pasuk Yud Tes, it says, Vo etino es halavim, I will give to the Levim, I have granted the Levim, I will give over to the Levim. Nisunim li Aaron ulevanav mitoch bnei Yisrael. The Levim are going to serve as assistants to Aaron and his children. Mitoch bnei Yisrael avoid es avadas bnei Yisrael to serve the service of the bnei Yisrael. Ba'ol moed ulechaper al bnei Yisrael. V'lo yev bnei Yisrael negef. There should not be any negef. There should not be any harm in the bnei Yisrael. Begeshes bnei Yisrael el hakodesh. A lot of repetition in this pasuk. It says in this pasuk the word Yisrael five times. Rashi takes note of the repetition. Pasuk Yutes. Chomesh pe'amim nemar b'nei Yisrael b'mikra zeh. Why does it say in reference to the Levim? The Levim over here are going to serve the Kohanim when the Kohanim enter into the Beis HaMikdash, and their service is going to prevent any harm. They're going to have assistance, so everything will be go according to plan. Why does it say five times? Lohodia, beautiful words of Rashi, Chibason, their love. The love that Hashem has for Klal Yisrael. Shenichbelu azkirosehem b'mikra echad, their remembrance is repeated in one pasuk five times. Kiminyan chamisha chumshei toira. V'chein ruisi b'bereishis rabba. Beautiful Rashi, Yisoidus de Garashi. We actually draw from this pasuk every single day. We may not even realize this, and the one that gets credit for this, I don't know to what degree, is the one that was Mechaber Akdamos. Rabbi Meir Shliach Tzibur was the one, he lived in Varniza, in Worms. He was from the time of the Rishonim, before Rashi, a little bit before Rashi, or even during the Tkuf of Rashi, I don't remember, during that period of time, his secular number of 1096, that was during the First Crusade, approximately during that era, and he gets credit to some degree, I don't know the details, of modifying the Mi Chamocha that we recite every single day in the Nusach Atzilu. We say, right before we begin, Shmon Eshrei, Mi Chamocha Boilim Hashem, and this Nusach Ashkenaz. Nusach Sfar does not work out, but Nusach Ashkenaz, Mi Chamocha Boilim Hashem, Mi Chamocha Neda, B'Kodesh Neroz, Nusach Sefele, Shiro Chadosha, Tzur, not Hashem Yiloch Lilom, Tzur Yisrael, once, Yisrael, the rock of Yisrael, Hashem, He is our rock. Kuma, may you rise up. Be'ezras Yisrael. Uftei, may you redeem. Chinumecha, as you have spoken, as you have promised. Yehuda, the Yisrael. Goyaleinu, Hashem Tzivakois, Shemo, Kidoish, the Holy One of Yisrael. Baruchato Hashem, Goal Yisrael. Rav Meir Shliach Tzibur, he modified this section of the bracha that we should have exactly five references to Yisrael. Svar, I think it's six. No, it's same? Okay, it could be Nusachari, I'm not sure. I don't know, I'm not familiar with these Nuschas. Barely know Nusach Ashkenaz. Sometimes Svar, I'm still all mixed up because I only daven Ashkenaz, but when I daven for the Yom, when I was in the other, I daven for the Yom in a place that was Nusach Svar many times. And in my mind, the two Nuschas have now meshed into one. Daven Shachris, Ashkenaz, Mincha Svar, Marv Svar, back and forth every day. I have a very hard time now when I daven for the Yom, and I always get confused. I use a sitter. I have a very difficult time keeping track, and I usually slip up and I add a word or I miss a word depending on the Rashi because it all has merged into one, morphed into one Nusach by me. But in any event, it said we have over here five references. So I saw in a Sefer, which I do not recall, this linkage, and he explains in a very beautiful way. We don't really appreciate this, but when we daven Shmoneh Esrei, if we daven Shmoneh Esrei the way we should daven Shmoneh Esrei, we should realize it's very dangerous. When you go lifnei the melech malchei hamlochem hakadosh baruch hu, shmona esrei is yoimed lifnei hamelech. If you don't behave, it's curtains. Rav Moshe, you know, he's famous, he's writing, Rav Moshe, when he davened Shmona Esrei, he stood still, he didn't move. And Rav Moshe would say about himself, the reason why he learned to do that is because when he was young, he was once conscripted for the army, if I'm not mistaken, and he had to appear before the Tsar or before a government official, and his life was literally on the line. I don't remember the details, but Rav Moshe says his life was on the line, and he had to appear in front of someone very important in the Russian,
among the communists,
he had to appear, and he said the terror that was going through his bones was off the charts, and at that moment he noticed that he did not twitch. And he said to himself, he recognized, Al achas kam v'kama. If this is the terror, how I felt in front of a melech, bosar v'dam, Al achas kam v'kama, when you go lefnei the melech, malchei amlachim, yo'im lefnei amelech, yidav nishmon eshrei, how much more so should a person at least do his very best to feel that sense of awe for the Ribbono shel Olam. Your life is on the line when you go lifnei. Therefore, you need to be prepared. Therefore, we employ the same technique that Moshe employed in this pasuk. What does the pasuk say in essence? I'm giving over the levim. Why do the kohanim have the use? The levim are servants. The levim, they wash the hands of the kohanim. The levim are there to assist. They provide support. Why do they provide support? Because the kohanim are doing a very dangerous job. The danger is you're going into the Beis HaMikdash, place that's very, very holy. If you don't behave in the Beis HaMikdash, you're in trouble. So we need the Levim to provide assistance so that the Kohanim can do their job with Menuchas HaNefesh. And the pasuk is very clear. I'm giving the Levim Nesunim, the Aaron Levanov, Mitoch B'nei Yisrael, La'avoy, to serve as Avodas Beis B'nei Yisrael, Be'ol Moed, U'lechaper. They'll bring atonement, Al B'nei Yisrael, V'lo Yihye Negev. There should not be any harm. Rashi explains, I don't know the exact details, but they provide support in making things easier to take, that they can concentrate on doing their job in a way, in a respectful way, where there should not chas v'shalom be any negef, any magefa, any harm to Klal Yisrael when they do their service. Likewise, we come lefnei HaMelech, we have a duty to recognize, it's not just, okay, here I am, I have a whole laundry list of needs. It's a sakana when you come to daven Shmona Esrei. Think about it. It's a whole different way of thinking about it. That's what this pasuk is revealing us. V'lo yihi yenegef. And therefore, and in this one pasuk, we make use of a tool. The tool we make use of is Hashem. You have to have rachmonis on us. We are your nation. We are makayim the chamishei chum shei Torah. It says Yisrael 5 times in this pasuk as a way to find favor in Hashem's eyes. So the same way this is employed in this pasuk, v'lo yihi enegef, when we come lifnei the melech malchei hamlochem, which is equivalent to the kohen gadol going in the kodesh hakadoshim, we also have to be careful v'lo yihi enegef, and we have to use this technique, a tool, to find favor with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. We say the word Yisrael 5 times to be Me'oyer the Chibosan Shel Yisrael. In this, that we are Makayim the Chamish Sheikhum Shetar. Mr. Weiss,
yes.
Is that what you wanted to say?
No. I wanted to bring out that it said, Anis Mois.
Okay, that's another 5 times. But you mentioned to me it says 5 times the word Yisrael, this Rashi. Okay, let's go to another idea.
That's a good expression.
Give me 5.
Okay.
Let's go to another idea. We have in this week's parasha the sugya of the Pesach Sheni. Pesach Sheni, this is a short idea. Pesach Sheni, Lomo Nigora. There were a group of people who approached Moshe Rabbeinu and said, "We were unable to offer the Karban Pesach." They come to Moshe Rabbeinu. Lama nigora? It's not fair. It's not fair that we should be denied the opportunity. Lama nigora? Okay, the question is, who are these people? So it's interesting, there's a machlekes. There's a machlekes in the Gemara. There's a machlekes in the Gemara. Was it Elitza? Was it the people? The Rashi quotes, there's two different opinions. Omar Lohem. The Rashi brings it down. Okay, so like it was either Elite Sofon. I forgot who it was. There were two people who were involved. The people that were involved in carrying the Atzmos Yosef. Who were they? Okay, where were they? There were two people that were involved in taking care of the bones of Yosef. Yosef died in Mitzrayim, and Yosef made a condition with Klal Yisrael that you take my bones out of Egypt, bury them in Eretz Yisrael, and there were people that were involved in carrying his bones. You see that tzaddikim are metamim. This is a big sugya. How could it be that kohanim are not metamim lemeisim? For a tzaddikim, you see even Yosef is no greater tzaddik than Yosef, and yet Yosef, even he was metamim those that took care of his bones, so they could not offer the government Pesach. Okay, that's one. The Gemara has another opinion. It was the people that took care of Nadav Avihu. Nadav Avihu died in the Kodesh HaKadoshim when they brought an Eitz Zor Shel Tzivoy Sam, and they were taken out by their brothers, and Mishol Be'el Tzofon, they were taken out, and therefore they became Tamei.
They had no problem. They had
the chain. Well, they had chain. They pulled what? It wasn't enough time. It wasn't the whole calculation. It was not.
Maza. It's metametayrim.
But he has to still wait. Okay, whatever it is, the people that were involved in taking care of Nadav Avihu, I believe that there's a very deep idea here in the Gemara. The Gemara here, by illustrating these two different sets of people, is telling us two different extremes. Nadav Avihu and Yosef represent extreme opposites. What do I mean by that? Nadav Avihu, where did they go? They went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the holiest place in the world, the place where only the Kohen Gadol can go once a year. Where did Yosef? Yosef was sold as a slave to Egypt, which the Torah describes as the Ervas Haaretz. It is the lowliest place in the world possible. The Erva, you think Las Vegas is bad. This is the worst of the worst. The Torah says it's the Ervas Haaretz. It represents Golos. All the Dalet Malchios, the whole entire Golos, the four Golos are all captured in Mitzrayim. It represents Klal Yisrael had to descend to Egypt for 210 years to suffer there, the Shibud. Miraculously, we fell to the 49th level of Tumah. Had we waited one more moment, we would have been finished. Miraculously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu rachmanis upon us and he took us out of Mitzrayim. We're dealing over here, and both of these two individuals are Yosef, he's a tzaddik, don't get me wrong, Yosef is a tzaddik, but they represent two different experiences which are extreme opposites. And both of them resulted in individuals not being able to achieve their mission, what is demanded of them. Every person has an obligation to bring the Korban Pesach. Bringing the Korban Pesach is the most fundamental mitzvah in the Torah. It represents that we are the Am HaNivchar. This is the Chiv Karis. It's the only assay, Bris Milah as a Yochid, and Korban Pesach. Korban Pesach is the most fundamental meaning, being part of Klal Yisrael. Yitzias Mitzrayim. This is what is demanded of you. If a person doesn't do this, it's the Chiv Karis. You're cut off from the nation. And we have here two sets of people that were unable to achieve what is demanded from them, for representing two completely opposite, polar opposites. Mitzad Echa, there was a group of people. We can't do it because we were involved with a situation where someone came so close to Hashem, entered into the Kodesh HaKadoshim to bring in Esh Zara, and due to the circumstances, we were unable to do what is required of us. But there's a good reason. We had the zechus of being involved with someone that entered a madrega that's beyond this world. They had to die because they were kedoshim that we can't even begin to imagine to go into the kodesh. They died for whatever reason. They died, but they entered into the kodesh hakodashim to do something very, very holy. And on the other hand, there were a group of people that were not able to bring their karbon to do what was demanded of them, was because they were involved in something which represents. You've sunk to a level where you don't want to be. These people, Yosef, the whole event of Yosef going down to Mitzrayim represents the goalness of Klal Yisrael, the churban of Klal Yisrael. That's really what it represents.
Why couldn't he be mashal? What was Yosef's purpose? Did you say he couldn't
be? Yosef's bones going in Mitzrayim and represents the concept that Klal Yisrael was reduced to the lowest possible level, on the verge of extinction.
The fact that his bones were in Mitzrayim.
No, the fact that he went down to Mitzrayim. Yes. The fact that Yosef was sold as a slave to Mitzrayim, and the whole Klal Yisrael went down to the Erev Asaretz, and they sunk to the 49th level. Miraculously, we survived. We came out of it. Nadav Yaviu, it represents in concept going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Both of these have in common, they were individuals that were unable to achieve what is demanded for them in this world. And what is that? And what do they say? Lama Nigara. And Hashem says to them, you're right, you're not going to lose. It's a mashal for us. At times in life, we have nisyonos. And the nisyonos sometimes take away from what we feel is our true mission in this world. And let me give you an example. Let's say the Moshe, you read about people are a mashkiach. He's a mashkiach in China. He's a mashkiach in some country you never heard of, in some factory. And you read how the Moser Nefesh, it's Yom Kippur. I ever read the story? It's Yom Kippur. I remember when I took one to the Asko U many years ago, they told the story. It was Yom Kippur during the Elah. And that was the time when they were doing a run, and the Mashkiach had to be there and had to keep his eyes on the thermometer to make sure it doesn't reach, it doesn't go. Where would this Mashkiach would like to be at this moment in time? He was a Ben Torah. He would like to be home with his family. And he would like to be being Malashpia upon his family. That's what he... And here he's put in this situation, for whatever reason, where he gives it all up for Klal Yisrael to do something very holy. It's a very holy... He's on a mission, and they write that the thousands of people depend upon this. Tens of thousands of people depend upon this. If this ingredient is not kosher, the whole industry is going to shut down. And when does it come out that he has to be there? Yom Kippur, Bishas Ni'ilah. Bishas Ni'ilah, he has to be there to watch the thermometer, sit there for 3 hours to make sure everything is okay. It's a very holy mission. Yeah, I'm doing something that's very, very holy. But because I've done something very, very holy, I have lost out on something which the common man is able to do. To be with his family, to be home on Yom Tif with everyone else. And a person can feel, Hashem, why did you do this to me? Lama nigara. It's true. It's true, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you went and I'm doing something very holy. I'm on a very unholy mission. I'm just giving one example. You can give a million examples. But this is a type of example where a person is like he's going to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. You're doing something very noble, very high quality, very high caliber, but yet there's a price to pay. Kiruv Rechaikim. A person has to go out to who knows where to Yehupitz to do a shluchim from Chabad. It's not fun to go out to the end of the earth to go be Makarv Rechaikim. It's very important. Someone has to do this. It's extremely important. It's natural for a person to feel Lama Nigara. I'm losing out. And then Mitzat Sheini, Rachmanu Litzlan, there are people who, unfortunately, they slip and they leave. They, unfortunately, for whatever reason, which you can't necessarily blame a person, they find themselves in a situation where they're on the other extreme. We don't have to go into any examples. Where they find that Yom Kippur and the Elah, and they find themselves in places. They find themselves in places that they should not be in there to begin with. The Erev Asaretz. And it's also a person that if he finds himself there, he can say to himself, Lama Nigara, like a spark, sometimes it's a spark. Why? It's just, I don't belong here at this time. Lama Nigara. The Torah here is teaching us, like we learned today in Yirmiya, if a person finds himself, there are things that are demanded of a person. And a person at times in his life can say, Lama Nigara. the demand of Lomoni Gora is a very valid demand. And the proof is Hashem said, you're right. You're right. Lomoni Gora, no person should be left behind. The whole Klal Yisrael Karban Pesach is a carbon for the Gans Klal Yisrael. It's a carbon tzibur. And if a person, no one should be left out. And if a person is left out, you're right. You have a very good demand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lomo Nigara. And you can be sure Hashem will respond and will make it up to you. Will make it up to you. And the parsha here, Chazal are teaching us that the demand the person will say Lomo Nigara is not limited to any situation. We have here the two extremes. The two extremes. The extreme of people saying Lomo Nigara because we were involved in a mace mitzvah, a mace mitzvah of the highest caliber in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And then you have a person that can say Lomo Nigara, I was involved in something of the Ervas Haaretz. Involved in a situation. Yosef was a tzaddik, so I'm talking about the concept. The concept of the reason why they could not be Matam was the concept of Yosef being sold to Mitzrayim, going down to the Ervas Haaretz, the entire concept of Golis is the extreme opposite. And yet you have a demand, Lo Moni Gora, you feel bad. You feel bad, don't worry. Hashem can pick you up even from a situation that is dire. You'll also, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will respond, Imdu v'eshma ma'yitzav Hashem eschem. Yes, I will go and make it up to you. You will, Hashem will make up to you whatever you feel is lacking, whatever the average person is entitled to, you will also get, no matter which extreme you find yourself. This is perhaps the deep meaning of why we have specifically these two examples of people who were unable to bring the Karban Pesach. They represented two extremes, and of course, everything in between. Okay, let's go to another idea. Quick idea. Okay, we'll probably conclude with this. This idea is not a complete idea, but I think there's a lot of depth. There's a lot of depth in just the superficial approach to understand. But it does, not everything works out. So just please bear with me just for a little bit. We learned this week's parash about the complaint Klal Yisrael had regarding the mon. Some very severe words were said by Klal Yisrael. We come to the Mon, and they say to Klal Yisrael, they say to Moshe Rabbeinu, "V'hasafsuf asher bikirbo hisavu tavo." They had a desire to have a desire. That's a very deep expression, which we'll come back to in a moment. Vayashuvu, vayivku, vayashuvu. We learned today, vayashuvu means they went backwards. Vayivku, and they cried, "Gamben Yeshuva yomu mi yachilelu basar." Oh. If only we had basar. Zocharnu es hadaga. We remember the good, delicious fish. Ah, delicious fish. Asher noichal b'mitzrayim chinam, which we ate in Egypt for free. Es hakishuim. Now we list five different types of hard vegetables. And these vegetables do not taste very good. And yet, Klal Yisrael are complaining, if only we had these vegetables. The kishuim, ho'avatichim, v'yes hechatzir, v'yes habitzalim, v'yes hashumim. I don't know why they wanted to eat onions. They wanted to eat...
with the herring. You gotta have
one. Yeah, and with it, the flavoring. It seems that they ate it raw. They're complaining, well, remember the chatzir. These things are not very pleasant. The melons, gourds, onions, garlic, raw garlic.
Can't make a brach on raw onions.
What's going on here? This is what we remember. So to answer this question, yeah, there's a very popular question, and there's a fascinating gra. It's said over the name of the gra, and it appears it comes from a medish, which it could be we don't even have this medish. The medish disappeared from us. There's a grammatical difficulty in this pasuk. Everyone asked this question. Zochan, that's why it's very hard to learn diktik from Chumash, because every pasuk is an exception to the rule. Zocharnu es hadoga. We remember the fish. If you were writing this pasuk, you would say asher nochalnu in the past tense, which we have eaten in the past. Right? That's what they're saying. And that's how it's translated. But that's not the literal translation. Nochal is the future tense. We remember the fish which we will eat. We remember back in the olden days the fish that we will eat. Doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense to say Zochanu es hadaga asher nochal. Asher nochalnu b'mitzrayim. So what's going on over here? Chinam, we ate it for free, we have to pay, it was free. Fish is not free. Fish is very expensive. It's more expensive than chicken, some fish. It's expensive fish. mace? What's, and then we mention all these melons. What's going on over here? So the Gra, now the Gra just says one yesod, and then I saw in a sefer called Eid Pilos Eido Secha. It's the name of a sefer. It's similar to that sefer called Eitz Pilos, a little bit different, a little shorter. And he elaborates, in a footnote, he elaborates upon an idea. I'm not saying it the way he says it, but I want to bring out the general yesod. I think it's something very, very fascinating. The Gra says that when it says Zocharnu es Hadoga, the Doga refers to the Leviathan. The Leviathan is the fish that will be served at the time of Mashiach. When everything comes after Melchemes Goygumag, when all the dust settles and Mashiach is here, we're going to eat the Sudas Leviathan. And the Akdamas talks about the whole Leviathan. Fine. So here when the pause Zacharnu es Hadoga Sher Nochal B'Mitzrayim, it means, Now the Gra doesn't say much more, and this is how the Mefarshim, that what the Gra says, it appears to come from the Medrash that the Doga is the Leviathan, and this is the basic interpretation of the pasuk. When the Jewish people were living in Egypt, what were they eating? What were they eating? They were eating bitter herbs or bitter. They were eating for lunch. In the Holocaust, you have such horror stories. People, they have to have an onion. Wow, that was a luxury if you have an onion to eat. They were in Egypt, they were suffering from the Shiva Mitzrayim, and they were eating onions and melons, garlic, these horrible foods that were poisonous. And when they were eating this, they thought to themselves, it's okay, you know what, we don't have to worry, because the day is going to come when the Geula will arrive. Afal pisha yismanea im koza chakla b'chol yom sheyavo. And everything is going to unfold. Mashiach will come, Melchemes Goygumagog, and there's going to be the Su'ud of Leviathan. We remember in Egypt our dreams. When we sat in Egypt and we suffered, we had dreams. The day will come, Asher Noichal, we will eat the Doga, the Sudas Leviathan. But now Moshe Rabbeinu, we're here in the desert. And in the desert, it's a 5-star hotel. We have everything we can want. We have man. We have our clothing to not get worn out. Moshe, in essence, this is what I think what it means. He doesn't say these words. We have here, we don't have goals. That's the problem. We have too much. The problem is, in order to live a healthy life, you have to have goals, challenges. I actually was reading some fascinating lectures about the American presidents. Some of the best presidents lived in times when there were no crisis, when there was no crisis. And they would not, and had they lived in a kufa, we assume, when there was a crisis, they would have been, had a legacy like none other. It's just that they were unlucky, so to speak, but everything was good. Everything was good. What?
Like that. He would have lived in the time of Abraham.
You know? So that's the question. Would it have been even better? Would it have been worse?
Good or very bad?
That's the question. When you live in boring times, you don't have an opportunity either to shine or to make even a bigger korban. To be bigger. When we lived in Egypt and we were eating the kishuim and all of these things, at least we had goals. Zocharnu es hadoga asher noicha. We sat in the tzara. Geula is on the way. Geula is on the way. We will eat the Leviathan. But now all we have is v'ata nafshenu yivesha. Our neshama is dry. Neshama has a connotation of aspirations. Neshama is lashon of your desires, ratzon. Yevesha, ain't call, bilti el hamane nenu. All we have is, the man is too good. There's no challenge in life. Therefore, that's why it starts, hisavu tava. They had a desire to have a desire. They had a desire to have challenges in order to have goals. If you don't have goals, then it's life. Life is too good. It's not worth anything. And that is a problem. That's a real problem.
Wasn't that the goal at this point?
It was even, that wasn't a goal, unfortunately, because it was better for them in Egypt and in the desert. Because in the desert they had the ma and they were learning in Kollel. They go to Eretz Yisrael. Then the Eretz Yisrael, it's going to be a challenge. It's going to be. You have to finesse it. You have to work on it. I told you it's incomplete. It was not coming to Eretz Yisrael was not viewed by them something that was challenging enough. It was a step down. It was a step down from what they had then. Because in the desert, they were in the presence of the Shekhinah, Amut HaEsh, Amut HaAnon, they had the Mon. It was a step down, and therefore they felt deprived. And the Musar Haskel is, what is the Musar Haskel? The Musar Haskel is a person in life must always set for himself goals and challenges. If you let your whole life go by, where it's just bland and there's nothing to look forward to, it's a very frustrating existence. And this is the pit. What?
Bussar provide that.
But it's a concept. You're right. I told you it's not a complete avard, but the seidas are definitely. You have to work out some of the words, but the content is definitely here. Hisavu tava. They had the dogos zochainu as the Gros says. We remember the desire to have the leviyasan. Now there's no desire. The money is even better than the leviyasan. So what are we looking forward to? Where are our goals? It's a very big problem. It's a very problem to have us. Okay, we're out of time. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Yeah.